You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
It made finally a win, but let's just say it was left to the dying seconds, really. And let's just say it wasn't a great performance.
Certainly wasn't, Jamie. I know it's a bit like, crying spilt milk. When you've had a win and we haven't had one for a while, and it was looking at one stage like we were going to go, basically to lose six of our last seven, rather than five of the last six. So things are looking pretty dicey. We did come out the win, but I tell you what, it's one of those wins that sort of leaves a bit of taste in your mouth, because the way we played was, I'd have to say not AFL standard.
Yeah, well, prior to this, West Coast losing record on the way was 66 points. Was their average losing margin. And as I said, needless to say, to win by 1 point. And I guess where I have concerns, and don't want to sound like, you wait till after the results before I have an opinion, but I think we've forecast this in the weeks previous. The messaging from Brad Scott is a bit perplexing, I think. Really, if anyone has listened to the press conference after the game, just his messaging in that, really is bewildering, I think. I think the journalist asked a fair question, about our forward line entries and so forth, and Brad was like, well, but it won the game though, he was very strong on that. We're 10 wins and we're still in the hunt for finals. We'd need a massive improvement to be in the hunt as of next week, even though we're playing North Melbourne, because the style of footy is a bit, worrying, I think, the way we're playing. Whether it's, we're a young side and we've run out of puff, this second half of the season, has really, we've seen a different style of play. But, it's just not line breaking or anything like that, where we're, constantly, find it hard to use the ball well and in pressure acts. And, that's going to come again this weekend when we play North Melbourne.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit scary too when you say that. We'd have to lift substantially, like for a game against North. but you're right. Like, we do need to actually be up and about, because as we've seen, if teams come for you, then we're vulnerable and can capitulate. But at the end of the day, we did win the game, James. So I guess we'll take that. I think it's rather debatable whether we're actually still in the hunt for finals or not. I know, mathematically we could make it, but you look at our percentage and like the amount of teams around that sort of 6th to 12th range or whatever. Plenty of teams can still make it, but I guess we'll wait and see. I did appreciate the Sash podcast did their funeral last week. Personally, found it quite fitting. So if we make it, it'll be a miracle. I do have doubts over our ability to have an impact in the finals. I would say, though, if we can make it, absolutely, you want to make it. We shouldn't be shying away from that or playing scared because we're worried about, a bad loss. We get enough for those throughout the season, we could wear it in the finals. But equally, we'd be within a chance. Like I'd say a lower chance, but Dumb and Dumber Jane, still a chance. So I guess, look, we've got a lot to play out before then. Three tough games. North, you hope to bank a win, but GWS up there. And then Collingwood on the Friday night, as it's been announced, Jane. So, look, in any case, the power is in our hands. If we win those games, more power to us. If we don't, then, we obviously don't deserve to make the finals. And also, we won't be relying on other teams and their results to make it or not. It's on us, effectively. So, I guess we'll see how we go.
Yeah, one of the concerns, I think, and we've talked about this, in previous weeks, match selection. We know we've got a number of senior players that are unfortunately out, and they have been from a bulk of the second half of the season. Talk about players like Draper, Shield, Setterfield, and now Stringer. Yeah. So those four, obviously, senior kind of players would have a big impact on our side. Like, there's no doubt. And obviously, Jordan Ridley is another to add to that. So, I'm not totally saying that, we've had everything go away and we still can't do well. We've had to go through some hardships, but our match selection's been a bit bewildering because of the way that we are. I just think we really aren't being, we're not opening our eyes or our realm to have a look at some extra players. We seem to be picking the same kinds of players week in, week out. We saw, and we know he's a young player. Alwyn Davey played the sub. He played a full quarter, mate, and he had one disposal in that quarter. He's a young player, so it's not a knock. But, we need to open our selection. Hopefully, players that perform well in the reserves or, in the VFL should be given a good look at. We've all seen Kane Baldwin play a really great season in the VFL, and he's not getting that reward to have a look into the team. And Baldwin can play at both ends, mate. So to me, he's a person that I would be definitely looking to see if he could get an opportunity, because he really earned it on the back of his performances. And if you're looking for a small forward, mate, we saw Tex Wanganeen kick four goals on the weekend. And he hasn't had a look this year, so. Hopefully, again, that reward for playing well in the VFL is on offer soon, because to me, the side sometimes looks a bit stale, and I think you should always earn your spot in the side.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, James. Agree with all that. And also you got Voss as well. Look, he hasn't kicked as many goals as you'd like, but you also have to look at the makeup of that VFL side. They've had a pretty tough season. They're a pretty young outfit. Not many mature bodies in there to, help out these younger guys. So they kind of have to, lift it themselves. And look, he kicked another three on the weekend, Jane. I'd love to see him get a crack, at least so we could see what the level's like, what the difference is. So, it might give him a bit of a spur to, over the preseason to see if he can crack it in the ones. But also, you kind of think of the, they say the game is obviously played above the shoulders a lot of the time, Jane. And if, you think earlier on in the year he was kicking heaps of goals and he wasn't getting an opportunity in the ones, is some of that, his lower goal tally, because he sort of thought, oh, geez, I'm putting in the work, but I'm not getting much reward here. Same could go for a Baldwin, but we've seen him just perform consistently week in, week out in the VFL, but still he's not given a go. And I think the match selection is it's been one of our weaker areas this season, for a number of reasons, obviously with types of players we're playing, but also how we use the sub. I think we haven't used that particularly well at all, and even the kind of blokes we're bringing back in playing together. I mean, we'd rather play Kelly on a wing, which I don't think he's suited to. We discussed that last week. And it's not down to his lack of will or lack of effort or even ability as a player. He's just not that kind of player, Jane. Like, he's a lockdown defender and he's good at that role. But he's not the kind of bloke who's going to be able to create, forward of 50, as good as he is defending going back. But to play him and Heppel, yeah, who we know isn't, you know, springtime anymore. He has been playing well as a defender, but they are quite slow moves of football, Kelly and Heppel together. So having them together slows us down quite a lot. They don't take risks or they don't seem to have the ability to pinpoint passes to open up the game, Jane. Whereas you imagine a Kane Baldwin down there, his disposal can be elite at times. I'd love to see him get a crack. And think particularly with Ridley down, perfect opportunity for him. But I guess it's what it is. I guess we'll see what happens with selection this next few weeks, Jane. But it has been an aspect of the game that many of us have found a bit troubling.
Yeah, so let's I don't think I've ever said this one, but let's rip the Band-Aid off and discuss the win against the West Coast Eagles. And mate, the story was not far away from being one of the most embarrassing moments, of Essendon's recent history. Going down against the West Coast Eagles would have been pretty tough for all of us, And as it is, to hold on against the Eagles by 1 point, at least you saved face somewhat. But could you imagine the hysteria if we had a lost? But let's go in through the game. And mate, I went to the game and I thought, you know what, our percentage is pretty rank at the moment. We should be aiming to get it well past 100, because. Again, it's not even the finals aspect. I just think that your season looks so much better when you're in the positive on percentage. It just means that you've been, consistently scoring, at least maintaining, not getting beaten as much as you have been winning, which is an important aspect of a season. If you can beat up on the bottom teams and, not get smashed by the top sides, that gives you an indication of how far away you are. But, I just went to that game like that, and it took a long time for us to even get into the game, mate. I think it was around the 10-minute mark before a goal was kicked, and kind of sensed it was going to be a tougher game than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, they got the first forward 50 entry and got a behind from that. But we did have plenty of the football, James. Like, we were getting it inside 50. Getting inside wasn't the problem. It was our actual efficiency using the pill or ability to hit a target to get a decent shot on goal rather than the sort of hurried shot. I mean, within the first couple of minutes, saw Archie Perkins have a shot, but unfortunately he missed. Kyle Langford, he had a shot early-ish, but wasn't able to get it. And then we saw a couple of bemusing bits of play. I mean, Durham, who had really started quite well early, Jane, was doing some good stuff, collecting the footy, which is good. But then he went to switch in the middle of the ground, Jane, and it went straight to Darling. And we were just very fortunate we weren't made to pay because, that ball sort of made its way to Cripps for the Eagles, who, mind you, collected the ball on the other side of the boundary line before having a shot at goal. Fortunately, he missed, sort of reminiscent of Jamie Elliott, if you remember that one, Jane. After all that faff around, we saw another point to Caldwell. I mean, it was a good bit of play to get the ball up there. We saw Menzies win that ball on the wing. Parrish came through to collect and give the hands to Kelly, who was steaming through. And it actually was a really good hit from Kelly to Langford, who kicked it nicely to Caldwell, but unfortunately Caldwell couldn't kick it. And you thought, like, the amount of ball we had, we should have kicked a couple of goals by that stage. But unfortunately, the first goal went to West Coast, through Oscar Allen.
Yeah, and at that stage, mate, we were 18 minutes into the first quarter. The Eagles had kicked the first goal, so... and as you say, we had a lot of the footy. We just weren't using it as well and hadn't taken a couple of opportunities when we went inside 50. But I just thought, maybe, I should change my mindset from building percentage to actually winning the game. But yeah, it wasn't too long after that, and we saw Sam Durham put us on the scoreboard.
Yeah, we did. I did want to comment quickly though, Jane. Like that goal to Allen, that was from Laverty. He panicked and gave away the free.
He just charged at him, didn't he? Yeah,
yeah, like he didn't need to do that. That was a bit disappointing. But as you say, like, yeah, we did see that. Really good goal from Durham. Kicked it nicely. But I tell you what, though, the umps weren't paying anything against the Eagles, like holding the ball or anything like that. I don't know, it's a theme, and us footy tragics who love that call get a bit frustrated. But it was good from Durham to get us on the board there. Soon after, we saw a bit of a wasted opportunity forward. Menzi coming inside 50 sort of wasted it. I felt anyway. Could have done a bit better there. Finally, we saw 2 meter pike Peter get paid a free kick straight in front. Jane, it would have been 25, 30 out,
yep.
Not much of an angle at all. And he bloody missed. Mm. And like they are the ones you have to kick them. That's literally your job to kick goals as that big forward, and really deflating when we don't. Because I think that one of our problems this year, Jane, you can probably cast this net over many areas, many years of Essendon, but we don't put sides to the sword early. Like we let them in with a sniff and then they keep on with it rather than putting them down early. Missed goals like that really hurt. We saw another effort from Menzi soon after. He took a quick snap, but unfortunately didn't go through. Then we saw a goal to West Coast, which is sort of hurts because you thought we'd have to work so hard to be level pegging with them basically, and they go back in front. We saw a beautiful kick from Sardis to Guelphy, but the mark wasn't paid, Jane. I couldn't believe it. Like it was punched straight out of his hands. Mm. It's so frustrating. And then we saw Timmy to Peter, take a mark from just outside 50. And honestly, the way he sort of played on quickly, swung around and just launched it, in the direction of the goals rather than sort of lining it up properly, screamed to me a bit of desperation, Jane. It's like he just wanted to get it off out of his hands because he missed that first one. At the end of that quarter, we were down by the 2 points. So 1-6-12 to their 2-14.
Yeah, and that was West Coast's fifth winning quarter of the first quarter for the whole year. And they said we had plenty of the ball and drove it forward many times, but they said we were inaccurate in front of goal. I do believe the umpires were certainly not paying some of the free kicks that should be there, and or paying marks that seem clear marks, and then just calling play on. So I think they were getting sympathy from the Eagles, umpires, the Eagles, but still, we need to be better than that. So a very disappointing start to the game. On the back of, as you say, in the collective of the last six games prior, when you've won one out of six, the fans keep turning up, but it just, we look so, so poor with our forward 50s. It was hard to see us improving. So I just thought, I really hope that, we get a redirection of, if you came in here think it was going to be a walk in the park, you better change your perception and get onto it.
Absolutely. And it looked like they did, listen to that second quarter, Jane. Very early we saw Peter Wright get a, Harry shot a goal. Fortunately he missed. So that had him 0-3 thus far. But then we saw a really nice kick from Hines to Perkins. I hit him beautifully in that 50. And Perkins was classy enough to go back and kick it, mate.
Yeah, nice signs from Archie Perkins, I thought. You know, took the responsibility. We needed somebody to step up to put us back in front, and he did that, you know, when kicking a nice goal.
Certainly did, mate. Unfortunately, though, we let one up too easy back the other way. And we saw, you know, the ball sort of bobble around a bit. And, you know, Phillips really should have held that tackle in the middle of the ground. But unfortunately, you know, they got out. Our defence was too loose, and Ryan Marrick for them ended up, yeah, getting an easy-ish goal. But then we saw a beautiful bit of play from Archie Perkins. He took a massive mark right on the 50, Jamie. It was 1v2. Like, one was McGovern. And I forgot the other bloke who was there. But it's just a beautiful mark from Archie Perkins. And that's the player I can't wait to see. You know, 1, 2 years' time when he's put on a bit more size and a bit more fitness, mate. Looked really good. And then he hit Langford. Really nicely inside 50, and Langford strolled back and put it through the big sticks.
Yeah, well, you can, as I say, we can bank on Kyle Langford kicking a goal every week. And in that first quarter when he had that snap, and it looked like it was a goal but had been touched off the boot. So it looked like he'd kicked the goal in the first quarter initially, but he certainly got one in the second, and that was followed up by another very quickly afterwards.
So it was, it all started from a bit of dirty play from Cripps, who, shoved McGrath after the kick. And I love seeing Laverty get right in his face. Like, that's the kind of mongrel you kind of want, Jane, because I didn't see Cripps do that again throughout the rest of the match. Mm. And then, like, we kicked the ball up the ground, and Petrocelli just took Langford out when he was nowhere near ball. Fortunately, the three was paid, and that paved the way for another Langford goal.
Yeah, and I said he is so reliable now, Kyle Langford. We know at the end of the game he's had 45 goals for the season, so we shouldn't be surprised of his impact.
That's it. Obviously we saw, the Eagles get one back up their way through Williams, but I will say there were a couple of bits of play. There were, like, for mine, I thought Cox looked pretty decent, Jane. Like, he showed a bit of decent poise, like holding on to the footy, wait for the right option, and was sort of holding up in the tackles. As much as, you know, his arms haven't filled out and he still looks, like he'd blow away in a strong breeze, Jane, he does seem a lot stronger over the footy. I'm looking forward to him bulking up over the preseason with any luck, but I did like some of his play. But again, that entry to them inside 50 was too easy for the Eagles. But then we saw a couple of really disappointing chances sort of go to nothing, where we shouldn't really be able to get up the ground. There was one pretty horrible kick from Parrish that got gobbled up and intercepted. Then the ball made it down our way. Heppel marked it, and then, turned the ball over with that next kick, which was really frustrating. But fortunately, those blokes didn't drop their heads. We saw a really nice kick from Parrish very soon after through the middle to Kelly, who gave the hands to Martin, and he hit a beautiful pass to Langford. And it was a pretty tough kick, Jane. I think it was about 40 out on a pretty tight angle. And, it was good enough to put it through.
Yeah, well, he's been kicking those goals, Kyle Langford. He's pretty reliable in front of goal, and he did that, and it was great. And, again, he added to that very shortly after again.
He did, mate. We saw Hind again make another beautiful kick inside 50 to Langford. And I tell you what, mate, when it's your night, it's your night. Because it looked like he sort of got hands to it. It bobbled out of his hands, and then it looked like he kind of lost it, I know, in the light or something like that. And then he sort of reached out, oh, there it is, and mark it, which is good. And, he went back and made sure of it. So that was his fourth.
In the quarter.
Yeah. So, it's great stuff there from Langford. And that's where I started to get a bit frustrated by some of the umpiring. I mean, it was pretty poor both ways, I think. But yes, to me, it seemed like umps were almost wearing West Coast Guernseys. Like we saw, Hobbs get dumped in the back, like from Cripps, and it was called holding the ball when, not very long before that, we'd had a holding the ball decision not paid for us. So that was a bit bemusing. But then we saw another really nice, strong contested mark from Perkins, from Hines' kick there. And then we, got it up forward, and it was Darcy Parrish who was able to get it into end of it and put it through.
Yeah, and we're starting to get a bit of a gap on the Eagles at this stage. So I thought, okay, we didn't have it all our way, but we've adjusted, and we're starting to put scoreboard pressure on them. And I honestly thought this would be the basis where the Eagles would drop away, because we were attacking each quarter, and we saw Cole Langford had another shot at goal for his fifth, mate, of that quarter.
We did, mate. It was a beautiful mark in the pocket. And I have to say, it was some nice work from Sardis to get that footy on the wing. He got it out to Martin, who ran down and took another couple of nice bounces before kicking it to Langford. As you say, Jane was just behind, but a really nice bit of play there. Which is good to see. And then we saw another frustrating bit of play where Perkins was taken down without the footy. And then he was pushed to the ground for good measure, and that wasn't seen. And then we saw a really nice mark from 2 meter Peter. Take the mark right near the siren. But I'll tell you what, it had a bit of the Courtney Dempsey's about it, Jane, because you wished he'd have gone back and had a shot for goal, but unfortunately he played on, and that was the story. I mean, he wasn't snow, but sometimes the players just need a bit more game awareness, like when the clock's ticking, just to go back and have a shot. But look, it was a much better quarter. We were still very sloppy with the footy, Jane, and very fumbly under pressure. But at least we could be happy at that stage that we were leading at halftime. So 7 goals, 8:50 to their 4 goals, 3:27.
Yeah, it had a bit of a resemblance to the first game against the Eagles, mate, where they really made us work for our victory. Like, we ended up winning by 50 points over in Perth, but it was a bit of an arm wrestle for the first half. And I thought it was going to be a similar storyline. I thought, okay, we've got some ascendancy now. Going into the second half, their pressure might drop off a bit. The start of the third quarter gave me every feeling that was going to be the case when Peter Wright got his first goal of the game.
Yeah, that's it, Jane. It was great for him to get on the scoreboard there. Nice quick clearance and big mark from 2 meter Peter and made sure of it. So that was great to see. And then we saw, it was a bit frustrating because after that goal, we were just playing poorly. And I'm not sure if the players just, switched off. But there was a terrible bit of play. There was a nice mark from Sardis and he kicked it really nicely to 2 meter Peter and he dropped it. But then Parrish's kick inside 50 went to all West Coast jumpers. Like, there was no red and black in sight, Jane. So it's not like we clashed. Literally went straight in between three West Coast jumpers. And I thought that was, they're really costly, those ones, because not only do you lose the opportunity to score, but, as we saw many times during that game, they would go coast to coast and get a shot themselves. Then we saw, there's a missed opportunity, a goal from Langford, still working hard. We saw, Caldwell, we'd worked the ball out from defence pretty skillfully, but then Caldwell tried to take on the man, and unfortunately that man was Yo, and he wrapped him up and he got done holding the ball. Look, young player, that's going to happen, but it's just a bit rough. But I tell you what, we're very lucky that that kick from Yo was absolutely woeful. Yeah, reminds me of McKernan at times, Jane, where there were some kicks were just, oh my God, what happened there? So missed the sticks completely. And then we saw McGrath. Now, I know he's trying to be attacking and stuff like that, Jane, but his ability to kick inside 50 is not it's not good enough, to be frank. There was nowhere near Essendon jumper when he kicked that in and really laced out the defender. And, they often come back with interest, which was, really, really tough. And we saw it go up their end. And, they kicked two quick goals, Jane.
They did, three Cripps and Petrucelli. And, going back to Andy McGrath, this is a number one draft pick.
Hmm.
He was streaming out of defense at times, but geez, kicking was so bad. It was almost like he couldn't see a West Coast Eagle player.
Mm.
So he was kicking it, thinking, it was going all to Essendon, but, unfortunately he was lacing out, as you say, the West Coast opposition. And, I think he'd be disappointed with his use of the footy.
Certainly would, mate. We continue to try hard, but it was it was bloody hard watching. We saw Cox have a bit of a shot, but miss. There was another couple where we should have had a good chance up forward, but unfortunately when we kick it up forward, it'd be to basically to Peter Wright or bust. And there was no one supporting Peter Wright. And unfortunately, they'd go end-to-end generally. Now, we were pretty lucky they weren't on fire in terms of accuracy. Like, we saw a couple of misses to them from Allen and Cripps. We saw a couple of other plays. It was just really disappointing to see where... I don't know, we just looked totally out on our feet, and West Coast were getting a bit of ascendancy. We did finish that quarter still up by about three goals, Jane, but we did lose that quarter. So we were 8-10, 58 to their 6-5, 41. We weren't playing convincing footy at all.
And as I remember saying at three-quarter time, we're actually won one quarter out of three, So to concede two quarters to the bottom side, it's a bit concerning, especially at home. And as I say, it's more our style of play. Like, I thought our ball use was pretty poor at times. I didn't really sense the Eagles coming hard and really pushing us. Yeah, I thought the 17-point lead, maybe it was a case that for whatever reason, there's no explanation, but sometimes in games, one end's the predominant scoring end. Mm. So I thought, okay, well, the first and third went to the Eagles. Hopefully the second and fourth are ours and we can still have a fairly good victory today. But, I should have really buckled in because, the next half hour was going to prove a really mighty task for our boys and the Bombers.
Certainly was, mate. They came out a bit harder than us, mate. We saw a chance to them through Petrucelli. Fortunately, he missed, but Jack Darling is too good of a player to be overlooked, and he kicked one. And then we saw a bemusing bit of play where Grolfi made a really good tackle in at forward 50, and it's funny, there was two umpires right near that bit of play, Jane, and they didn't call it. Took the umpire right up the ground to actually say, that's definitely holding the ball, there's no other way around it, to get that free to Grolfi. And he was only about 20-25 out, if that, Jane.
Yeah.
not too much of an angle to speak of, and he bloody missed. And that was, that's really disappointing, because, look, you don't get much of many opportunities as a small forward. And, yeah, when the other team's coming for you, you've got to kick those goals. And unfortunately, he wasn't up to it. Now, fortunately, yeah, we've got other sort of class users in the side. There was some really nice work from Zach Merritt. Like, I thought he was so good, Jamie. He made another big tackle. And then he gave it off to the big red dog, mate. And, yeah, he ran around on that right foot of his and just went bang from outside 50 to slot it through.
Yeah, I think Mason Redmond saw, yeah, our forwards are really, yeah, missing a lot of shots at goal. So he thought he'll go and do it himself. And that was a really tough kick for goal, you know. Yeah, I really didn't see it coming, you know. But he took it on and, as I say, kicked a lovely goal and certainly well needed.
Was, mate. Unfortunately, it wasn't too long before Cripps for them got up and kicked a goal from him. Look, there were some pretty tough plays. Yeah, soon after, we saw some nice work in the centre from Brian to Davey, who made a nice pass to Merritt, but unfortunately, he looked gassed, Jamie. He was trying to run in under pressure and just couldn't make the distance with a kick. Then we saw the ball go up the other end, and we saw Redmond save a certain goal with some really good defence, which is good. We then saw Langford make a beautiful kick to Andrew Phillips in the pocket, Jame. And I tell you what, when Phillips came to the side, Jame, all those years ago, the one thing he could do really well was kick a goal. Like, his set shot kicking was so good for Ruckman. But it's clear we've Essingtoned him, because that kick from him towards goal was, I was absolutely filthy with it. And you just kind of think, like, over the preseason, goal kicking has to be a priority, because the amount of easy goals we cough up week in, week out is lamentable, to say the least. We saw the Eagles come again, and Jack Dallin was able to take an easy mark in that forward line. Like, literally, there were four blokes they could have chosen there. I think it was Marek with that kick just outside 50, or maybe just inside. To leave Darling off the leash of all people, and he was good enough to go back and kick it. And you just think, it just makes you scratch your head, like, what are we doing? And then we saw a bit of exciting bit of play where, Elijah Sardis, tucked the ball under his arm and came streaming towards goal. Unfortunately, it was just a side, Jane, but that one would have lifted the roof.
Yeah, well, where I sit, the families of the Essendon team, well, there's some players are there.
Mm.
So I was sitting two rows back from Darcy Parrish's wife and could see Elijah Soldis's family, like his whole family were there. And, the crowd really went off too, mate. They really thought that was going to go through for a goal.
Mm.
So just to see the emotions of the families was a really good thing. Unfortunately, it missed, but it gave us a little bit of a premise of the kind of player he could be. And I thought he did some really good things in the second half, holding his marks and so forth.
Hmm.
And that play was, could have been a great moment for him. But, before I could, relish that, I had to watch Oscar Allen, kick the Eagles, I think almost level at this time when he kicked his goal.
That's it, mate. And that was followed up soon after by Ryan Marek, who kicked them in front. He just thought, right at the death, I was absolutely ropeable at that stage, Jamie. I thought to lose to this mob, who've been the laughing stock all season, but we got dragged down to their level. But fortunately, we finally... Yeah, got a big clearance through Laverty, I think it was, in the middle of the ground, Jane. And then Menzie did some nice work in that forward line to keep the ball going our way and, handball the ball over the top to Langford, and he was good enough to put it through. to get us back in front. But the job wasn't over then, James. There was still a minute and a half to go or so. And the ball did make its way down to our defensive 50. And then we saw Zerk Thatcher stand up with a huge mark. Absolutely brilliant down there. Just read it better than everyone else. Like, it wasn't a contested mark, but he had to fly, and he did, and took it, which is good to see. Yeah, at the end of the day, we did win, Jane, by a solitary point. And yes, we did bank those 4 points, but geez, it almost didn't feel good taking them.
Yeah, like I said, the embarrassment of losing to the Eagles would have been pretty much unbearable for us Bomber fans. But so we saved face somewhat by holding on to a win.
Yep.
But yes, it did feel quite hollow. You know, walking out of the ground, I was trying to comprehend, you know, how we could play to a level where we lost three quarters against the bottom side of the ladder. So I think that's really concerning, you know, not to be able to, you know, self-correct. And, you know, really it came down to that second quarter dominance was the one that, you know, allowed us to hold on to the win. But even, mate, I don't know if you've seen it, but I came back and watched the game again, and I don't know why.
Oh, Jesus.
It was pain. I guess you see a different opinion on when you watch the footage rather than being there. But, I mean, that ball up or throw up from the umpire that led to our goal. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
that was just horrible. It went on a on a 45 degree trajectory from his hand. So it actually didn't actually go straight up. It went to the wide. So I can understand why the Eagles were cursing that, because it was pretty costly to them. You know, the way the ball surged forward from that, but yeah, in all, it was just a real horrible game, you know, for us, because, you know, as I said, we'd lost five of the past six. You finally get a chance to, you know, get some confidence back, and really you've just held on against the bottom side. So then I said, Brad Scott's press conference gave me no comfort whatsoever that, this was going to be addressed the way it should. He was quite stoic and defensive, and no, we've won 10 games now, you know, and we're still in the hunt, you know, like, almost. I don't want to sound like too hard on him, but some of his responses just sounded clueless, like we'd seen something different, because I think the journalist asked fair questions, and he was very defensive on any criticism of us. And, you know, I thought, there was definitely reason to have some doubts on our form. But, as you say, we'd much rather discuss this after a win than a loss, because, in some small way, we're still relevant in this season. Now, how long that lasts, who knows? But we'd need a massive improvement this week, because as much as everyone will say, oh, you're only playing North, second bottom, even though we've got a good winning record against them, you know, in the last few years, a lot of those games have been one goal wins or, you know, small, narrow wins.
Yep.
So North get up to play us. Like, they, we're seen as, like, the players or the people with money and so forth, and they're the scrappers. And, you know, so we're always, because we live in the same territory, they really have a us against them attitude to the Bombers. You hear it in their supporters. You know, there's a real, you know, I think they love beating us probably more than most sides. So, if we come out like we did this week, I think, you know, there's no lay down to that, that we'll win this week on the back of the way we've been playing. So I really hope this is really addressed and, you know, changes are made. And you say that goal kicking. There's probably three or four goals I can think of clearly that we should have kicked, you know. And we left the door open, and, you know, the West Coast were only a breath away from really, you know, making us look ultra silly.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
But maybe we survived. moved on with our 10th win. So that's a plus, mate. You know, I think we won 7 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we're 3 games ahead of last year. But, you know, that second half of the season, I feel like we're playing almost the same as we were last year, you know, as damning as that sounds. Just don't go to games with the same confidence as I did in the first half. Like, I think we were playing quite a reliable style of footy. It's really dropped away, and I just go in hope now, because you know there's no real structure to the way we're playing, I think. And yeah, those 5 senior players I spoke about, mate, the Shield, Setterfield, Draper, Ridley, and Stringer, like, they're all, you know, they're reasons why, you know, you lose that big chunk or big core of players. That obviously there's going to be some drop off, but I mean, you know, I just think as a list, we need to be better than that, and hopefully we can see some improvement from here. You know, to finish off the season, because regardless, you know, I think in most people's eyes, we're not making finals this year, but I'd really like to see us finish the season, with playing some good brand of footy. Because I think if we end the season, you know, the way we dropped off in the second half, even though we've had a much better season than the previous year, it will feel like a little pressure on us still to prove that we're moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I agree with that.
All right, well, let's have a break. We'll come back. We'll discuss the VFL team, which had another loss, mate. But again, it was a narrow loss. They're in the fight again, but they just couldn't hold on. And we'll do our by the numbers and give the Donscast medal vote. And you're listening to Don's Cast. So we discussed, mate, our win, our 1-point win over the Eagles. Now, around the same time that our VFL team were playing, mate, they played Southport.
Mm-hmm.
We're right in the game. I know at 3/4 time, I think the scores were around level.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we've gone down by 8 points, I think it was. And it was... we got many goals through Tex Wangene. He kicked 4 goals, mate, 3 in the first half. And, he's a player I hope we get to look at. I think we should reward players who, you know, perform well. We heard Kane Baldwin had another stellar game down back, and a bit of a mixture going forward as well. And then Paddy Voss kicked a few goals as well. A few of our emergencies, or, you know, players that were named, you know, in the 26, did not fly with the team. So I think Wiedemann didn't play, as far as I know. I'm not sure if that's true, mate. But
he was at the ground. On Saturday.
I think he stayed in Melbourne. I think there was another player too. Obviously, Davey was the sub, but just trying to think who our other emergency was, but. I believe there was a couple of holdovers that they kept in Melbourne. Maybe it was Snelling. I think he may have stayed in Melbourne as well. So, unfortunately, another loss. Obviously, I didn't watch the game, mate, because I was at the game, and I guess you were watching our game as well. So, have you got any details on that game?
Nah, I mean, like, just the scores that the club puts up on the website, and, you know, from the looks of it, I mean, both sides started, you know, fairly scrappy, like 1-4 to 1-3 apiece. We kicked on in that second. We kicked 5-2 just in that second, so to go to 6-5 to their 4-9. Things sort of steadied in that third, where it was 54 apiece, James, 7-12 to them, 2-8, 6, which probably tells you that they were getting, you know, a lot more looks, just weren't making the most of it on the scoreboard. And then they took it away in that last quarter where, we kicked the 4-1, but they kicked 5-3 to take it out by that 8 points you talked about earlier. So, Look, as you said, James, it's good to see that Wanganeen got to the end of a few. And I'll tell you what, James, like, he doesn't when I've watched the VFL, he doesn't star like the full game, but any time he gets around the footy, he looks dangerous. Like he just looks a player. And I think as a small forward, that's kind of what you need. Like a bloke who, you know, might not get 20 touches, but each one of his touches, you know, leads to a scoring opportunity. So, yeah, like yourself, I'd love to see him, got an opportunity in the ones, because certainly one thing I'd say from Saturday, Jane, I probably think he was one of Menzies' poorest games for mine. Like, I know he did a couple of good things, but otherwise he was very quiet. Guelph, he's not a natural forward. Obviously, we saw Davey come on later, but he's still quite young. But the guys we had there, I mean, Menzi is more of a natural small forward, small forward pocket kind of player in particularly like a Wanganeen type could potentially help snaffle an extra couple of opportunities and, get the opposition on the back foot a bit more. So I'd love to see him get given a go. Likewise for Voss, I mean, kicking three, would love to see him get given a chance in that forward line in the ones. Who knows how we go. Obviously, we saw Harley Reid play for us. He's obviously played for, who was it? I think it might have been Carlton.
Carlton, yeah, he played for Carlton earlier in the year. Yeah.
And he had like 23, 24 touches with us and took a huge specky on the wing. Saw that highlight. They just thought, oh, well, yeah, he's going to look good in a North or West Coast jumper. Apart from that, yeah, disappointing for the guys because they've had a pretty tough season. And to go down again that last quarter, yeah, it just seems we don't have the legs to string out, four quarters. So it would have been pretty tough for him. And, yeah, tough for Paul Cousins as well. So, yeah, a bit of a shout out to him.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for the VFL team, that's for sure. And another loss there. But, hope that, some of the players put their hand up and, Brad and the match selection team are having a look at those players and rewarding good form. Mate, let's go by the numbers. So I don't believe there's any other news around the club at the moment. Still waiting on Darcy Parrish's signature. There was whispers he may have signed last week, but that's gone by the wayside. I don't know if there's been a formal announcement of this CBA that they're waiting for, for the contract for the AFL players, the agreement of the, basically their enterprise agreement, I guess, but or collective bargaining agreement, I think it's called. So that may have held up things a little bit, but I think, in the back of last week, was the last game against the Eagles, Darcy was very important in the game. So I think we all hope that he will extend with the Bombers. Although he has his limitations, I think we'd be a poorer side without him. Yeah. Let's hope he signs on. But just one whack that we received when I was driving to the game. Of course, our friend Caroline Wilson was just saying that apparently media had asked to speak to either Dave Barham or Craig Bozzo pre-game. And both elected not to, they don't want to be any media. And, Brad Scott will be representing the Essendon Football Club. I don't know why we're so hesitant to front. I know, they probably say, well, we're not, our job's not to do it, but they are our leaders of the footy club.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good opportunity for them to discuss, if we have had a poorer second half, just their understanding of, where we're at and would have been a bit of benefit to us. Even if they just wanted to sell positivity, at least that's something, it gives you a presence that you're all on board and, you kind of, they could sell it. Like, we always knew that, on the back of last year, second half, may have been harder because Brad hasn't had a full 12 months to really assess the list and the team and so forth. Yeah, but the fact that they were adamant they did not want to do any media, yeah, that surprised me a little bit. Yeah, I think that yeah, we haven't really heard much from Craig Bozo at all, have we?
No, we haven't. And like you say, look, yeah, it wouldn't cost much for him to you know, just say a few things about what's happening at the club or you know, how they see the direction. You could look, you know, it's obviously, you know, we've seen Barham previously in front of the media. He's not polished, Jane. Has said some things that yeah, he's probably wanted to take back. Potentially there's a bit of hesitancy there. But for both of them to knock it back, yeah, I think it's a bit disappointing to lump it all on Brad Scott. So no, he's the mouthpiece. But realistically, if you're in the leadership chain, yeah, you should be accountable for the media and yeah, them wanting their 2 cents worth. Because at the end of the day, Jane, yeah, the salaries and stuff like that of the players and the club gets its money from advertising around the club. And if you're leadership of that club, you're a beneficiary of that. And so I think you have a amount of responsibility to, sing for your money, if you will. So, yeah, a bit disappointing and, all the worse for the Hag having that bit of news. But, look, it's not the worst news that, she's ever spouted out the Essendon Football Club, so I won't be getting too upset.
No, it's just I think we are getting a bit of Brad fatigue, though. We've heard from him all year, and you know, obviously he's a good spokesman for the club. Although we're starting to doubt some of his messaging now. He's just like, he's too strong against popular opinion, even within Essendon fans. I think it would go against a lot of our opinions of where we're at. His description of how we're going. So I think that second voice or secondary voice, even to reaffirm what Brad's saying, it could be beneficial. Because if you hear from the one person saying this is the sky's blue, the sky's blue, the sky's blue, there's at some points where you need a different opinion just to see, if they want to give the same description. They can say it in a different way or, maybe make us think outside the square and say, so the positives are these. But hearing from the one person, you start to doubt the messaging. But, I guess it's only a minor thing. But, I hope before the season's out, because when you think of Dave Barham, the way that he, really forced the change, which we all applauded, and I think we all still do. We need a change. So he's to be applauded for that, even if things don't end up well on the back of 12 months later, we're certainly a different club than we were heading last year, I think. Any criticism he's received should be balanced by being brave enough to force the change. I do hope we hear from them at some stage before the season's out. But let's go by the numbers, mate. We start with Andy McGrath. He's a number one draft pick. I'll tell you what, there was a lot of unrest about Andy's game on the weekend, especially the usage of the footy. Very frustrating. And, he can be a really good lockdown defender. But sometimes it's just he's playing the right way. He's driving forward. He's running full chat. But just the way that he uses the footy sometimes is just horrendous.
Yeah, it is, Jane, and that's the thing, because you look at his stats and it looks good. 19 disposals. Had 4 marks. Meters gained 543. But his disposal was just subpar for my own. I mean, you look at the stats and it says 73%, but it's where he's turning him over, James. Like those kicks inside 50 that I talked about, but it's went nowhere near an Essendon forward. Like I love his run and dash and his, I suppose, intent to move the ball at speed. It's good. It's really good. But his polish is off it, mate. And it really, like, it does hurt when you're, you start to get a bit of momentum and, work the ball up the ground. And then it just gets turned over. It's really frustrating. So, for mine, look, he done some good things defensively. But with the ball, I thought he was pretty poor. So I'd have to say an average game from Andy McGrath.
Yeah, four turnovers, and they were key turnovers as well. So, he really needs to work on that side of his game. Historically, we've seen a lot of kicks over his shoulder and so forth, but these were more running forward of the play and just having no perception or no idea where the West Coast players were, because some of them were just like almost like he directed his kick directly to them.
Mm.
Really something he needs to work on. Darcy Parrish, he played a very good game, I thought. Like, obviously, again, his ball usage at times is a bit perplexing.
Mm.
Yeah, he used the ball at 61%. And it's just those kicks where he needs to hit the target. He just, sometimes just overcooks the kick or just doesn't have the presence to, hit up a target, which is really important. He had the 33 disposals, 17 kicks, the 16 handballs, 5 marks and 2 tackles, and kicked a goal.
Yeah, it was quite a good game from Darcy Parrish, because, while he makes some terrible clangers and really does need to clean those up, what he did do with the football, attacking-wise, was pretty good. I mean, to have, 13 score involvements, 9 clearances, 486 metres gained, so he's getting the ball going for it for us more often than not, which is pretty good. Did go at, 60% disposal efficiency, which tells you how many times he turns it over. But you have to take into account that 17 of his disposals were contested, so he works bloody hard to collect the footy. There were some really good things he did. Just hope he cleans up his decision-making and disposals, because that'll be the difference between him being a good midfielder and, going back to those All-Australian year that he had previously.
Yeah, Kyle Langford, so important for us. He kicked 4 goals in a quarter, mate, and then 1 more, the deciding goal, really.
Yeah.
I thought he was present throughout the game and kicked 4 goals, 3, actually, 5 goals, 3, sorry. So he had, he could have possibly kicked a few more, but he was key to us winning the game.
He was, mate, absolutely huge. And, it wasn't just the goals he kicked, Jane. He's not listed as having goal assists, but he actually set up a couple of guys with some nice kicks. Like, you think about that one to Colwell that unfortunately went astray. I thought he played a really good forward game. That straight kicking in that second quarter, was huge for us. And then to keep presenting all night. So I thought he was really good. Had the 10 score involvements, 6 contested possessions. Again, showed his smarts as a forward. So stick him up there and keep him there, Jane. 45 goals for the year. He's doing pretty well.
Yeah. We saw the number 5 get dusted off, mate, and come out. Mm. Elijah Sardis. And I thought his first half, he looked a little bit starstruck almost. Through no fault of his own, the ball just wasn't going near him at times. But I thought that second half, he really showed something. He took some really good contested marks. For such a lean body, he showed some real footy smarts. And he did some really nice hit-up passes. Unfortunately, on a couple of occasions, they were just dropped. Not held onto or not paid. And I thought his game could have looked even better if our players actually held onto the marks, because he did set up the play quite well forward. And we saw him run in that last quarter and nearly kick a great goal, tucking the ball under his arm and having a bit of dash, but that just missed. But certainly, six marks in your first game of footy and a few of those contested. There was a lot to like from his debut game.
Certainly was, James. I agree with all that. Absolutely, he'll be better for the run. Take the shackles off. So, really looking forward to the player this bloke's going to become. I think he had a decent game. Well, not everything went his way. His disposal efficiency was 50%, so he want that to lift a bit. But, I thought it was a good hit out for him and good to see that level of footy.
Jai Caldwell, he was subbed out of the game. Was that an injury, mate? Because he was a player I wouldn't have thought would have got subbed out.
I didn't notice him get injured. No, I didn't see anything injury-wise. I think he's just been fairly quiet and well-held, and they needed a bit of pace, I reckon.
Yeah, because he just had the 11 disposals, which is quite for Jai. He's had a pretty good year. Six kicks, five handballs, six marks, four tackles. So he's definitely doing the defensive stuff, but there's just the one point that we talked about earlier that had a shot at goal. But, I was a bit surprised he was the one subbed out, and I thought maybe there was a little bit of an injury presence.
Yeah, I mean, who knows this time of year. But, I think he did a few nice things, Jane. Took a nice mark. He was getting around the ground, laid four tackles, which is good, but overall didn't seem to have much of an impact for mine. So at the end, I'd say an average game. He's certainly developing well, the young bloke, and looking forward to him having another big preseason as well.
Zach Merritt, our captain, certainly gave a lot of great efforts. Eight tackles, mate. And, the 29 disposals, 14 kicks, 15 handballs. And seven marks. You described that perfectly before, mate, where the handball from Davey, we could just tell he was out of legs, get any contact with the footy, no power behind it. He's everything in a captain you'd like to see. Some of his tackling was so important when the Eagles were starting to get a really good look at winning the game. He held on to a number of tackles. And, unfortunately, for us, fortunately, he's our captain. And, I just hope that the rest of our players are looking at him and saying, well, there's a standard that we need to lift because this guy's going to leave nothing unfolded to, in the quest of trying to make us a successful side.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I thought he had a great game, Zach. Like he puts it all out there, James. There's no questions to be asked of Zach Merritt because he presents week in, week out. Those eight tackles, as you say, James, were absolutely huge. Had the four clearances as well, like nearly 500 metres gained. Had a nice goal assist, so getting blokes into the game. And when it 79% disposal efficiency throughout, and he was running hard both ways, James, and would have been buggered. So, like, as good as it would have been for him to kick that goal, I think he gave really good service. Had this 11 score involvements, which is pretty huge, including 7 inside 50s. So, I couldn't speak highly enough of Zach Merritt. He's been a fantastic captain for us a year, and this game is no exception.
Yeah, Ben Hobbs, he definitely gets the ire of the opposition. They really like to, he's obviously a physical type of player. They must get under the skin of them because I saw a number of times where West Coast players really target him to try and, have physical contact. He had the 17 disposals, 12 kicks, 5 handballs and 3 tackles. So it wasn't one of his better games, but his effort's always there, and he certainly provides a contested animal that he is to go up against the opposition.
Yeah, he does, James. As you say, he didn't have his best game, not his worst, but just in terms of impact, I thought he was a bit subdued. But he did win 10 contested possessions, James. He was still working hard to get the footy. It's sort of funny. You look at the frees for and against. He had six frees paid to him, Jane, which for a like an Essendon player, it's a bit unheard of. And it actually tells that he received a fair bit of attention from the Eagles players. So look, I think he's still developing quite well, and these games into his legs are worth their weight in gold. And again, another I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, Nick Cox, he's had a few games back now. He's looked a little bit more settled, but then I saw him move to the wing later in the game. Had his most disposals this year, 15 disposals. Only four kicks out of those, 11 handballs, two marks and two tackles, and kicked a behind. I just thought it was more promising from Nick, starting to get a little bit more involved in the game. And he's a player that had a really great debut season and had a lot of injuries the past couple of years. So I still don't think we know what kind of play he's going to end up. So we just have to keep working with him. And I think that's why we see him go a bit back and then chucked up on the ball and that. But, yeah, I've been surprised that he's not kicking the ball as much. Like, he's definitely looking for a handball every time he gets the footy.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. But I will say he was in a lot of contested work, Jam. And a lot of times when he was getting the footy, he basically had someone on his hammer straight away. So he had to get it out pretty quickly. I think, he was in the thick of it on the night. And, I thought he held up pretty well. So, not huge in terms of impact, but I thought what he did was show a bit of poise, which is nice to see. Was pretty sound in his decision-making. And, I know it's just handballs and stuff generally, Jane, but his disposal was fairly good. Actually had the six intercept possessions, which shows you that he does have a bit of defensive nous to him, which is great to see. So, I think it's another good game for his development. An extra game in his legs as well. So, I think overall had a solid game.
Yeah, Jaden Laverty, I thought he had a pretty tough matchup today. On Saturday. I thought at times he looked a little bit pressured, especially obviously Oscar Allen being such a good player, and just a couple of times I think we both called it, mate, that there's times he looked very nervous, went hard at the man and probably wasn't watching the footy and led to free kicks. Like you said, he's a strong player. He's certainly a player we need. The 15 disposals, 9 kicks, 6 handballs, 4 marks, 4 tackles, which is a good effort too. So he was definitely willing, but I think he still would say it was a tough game for him.
Yeah, it certainly was, Jane. I think, he's obviously giving up a little bit of size to Oscar Allen. I mean, like, I know people showed the comparison. Oh, he's basically the same, same height as Oscar Allen, but I just get the feeling he's got a slightly bigger reach than Lav. Could be wrong, but it's just how I saw it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
But at the end of the day, I think realistically, it was just a lack of structure down back where, it really tells when we don't have Ridley in the side because we lack a bit of a general down there. I mean, Heppel tried his best to, keep everyone together. But there were times where we were just totally out on their feet. They had three blokes running through, and it makes life difficult as a defender when you're trying to, cover two blokes and they run in different directions. So I think, Lav's a bit of a victim of that. But I still think, look, he tries hard and there's no questions ever about Lav's effort or love for the club or anything like that. But I just thought he got shown up on the night. So I'd have to say overall, it was pretty average for the day.
Archie Perkins, he did some nice things, mate. That last quarter, he made a very important tackle just as the Eagles were driving forward. I think it was on Tim Kelly. It was a massive tackle. So important. Kicked a classy goal earlier in the game. had the 16 disposals, 7 kicks, 9 handballs, 5 marks, and 4 tackles. So he's definitely added a bit more defensive pressure as a midfielder. Mm. And again, he spent a lot of time on ball. So they're certainly trying to develop him there. Again, I think he could find more of the footy, but in his development as a on baller, I think he's certainly got some good lessons throughout the year.
Absolutely, mate. I thought he had quite a solid game overall. And yeah, another game where he had to try and cover Kelly, who is a class midfielder, Jane. And look, the way he's been able to cover games. I mean, he's 82% of game time in that midfield, so he's had to do a lot of running, and he's standing up to it, James, and performing fairly well, I'd have to say. But the thing that really impressed me was those two big contested marks that he took. Well, in particular, that I think about. But like, that's an element of his game that is a point of difference in our team. Contested marking has been a bit of a Achilles heel for us. So if he can bring that into his game and keep developing that, that'll be huge. I think, to win a few clearances, at the end of the day, to walk away with 6 score involvements, 10 contested possessions. I mean, albeit his disposal efficiency suffered a bit, so he only went at 56%. But I still think he had quite a good game. So, well done to Archie Perkins.
Yeah. A player that was so important and gave so much drive, Nick Hind. 31 disposals, mate, 24 kicks, 7 handballs, 5 marks, 3 tackles. Yeah, I thought he was elite. And he does give us that run from the back line that we've been really missing. I know he's at times been falling out of the side, but to me, I'd be playing him week in, week out. He's just one of the few players that can break the lines. And we kind of need that kind of player. And I thought he was really a big reason why we ended up winning the game.
He was, mate, because he took the game on, which, really, because at times we looked pretty stagnant. And really, it was one of those games where we played this slow slow movement of the ball up the ground. The Eagles played exactly that way and beat us at our own game. So we were made to look pretty pedestrian at times. And Nick Hind was one who went through the lines, took a number of bounces. Look, doesn't always come off, but certainly he was taking the game on. To have nearly 600 metres gained for the night. And the thing I really liked about his game, James, was obviously 31 disposals, 24 of those were kicks. And he was going pretty well, went at 80%. With delivery there. Had a couple of goal assists directly off his boot, which is great. So I had 5 score involvements, 3 intercept possessions. Just the way he works his backside off to get us going and into an attacking position. But it is also showing now a bit more defensively. We know that's one of the reasons why he was left out of the side early in the season, because his defensive backs weren't good enough. He was more than happy to go for the run, but wasn't happy to defend. But now he's been made accountable for that. So that's good for him. So I think, he had a really good game, Nick Hind, and I agree with you, Jane. One of the big reasons why we actually got over the line.
Yeah, Peter Wright, thought he had a bit of a disappointing game. We certainly looked for him a lot. Kicked the 1 goal, but 3 behinds, and some of those are really kickable for him.
Yeah.
Took 6 marks, just had the 13 disposals, 7 kicks, 6 handballs, and 6 marks. So 1 goal, 3 on the day. Look, we know he missed a large chunk of the season with that shoulder injury. So I think, that's probably had an impact on his fitness and so forth. And probably his confidence in his body. Hopefully that will come back to him for next season. But at least we got him through another game and he wasn't injured. But, I think he's still got a lot of improvement in him.
Certainly does, mate. I'd agree with all that. Disappointing, but we know he'll be back better later. And obviously, yeah, to get these games under his belt will help him get some confidence, I hope. So yeah, look, would love for more, but yeah, still good to see the big fella out there.
Dyson Heppel, again, he has become the general of that back line, I think, you know, with Jordan Ridley going out. Now, look, he made some horrendous turnovers, mate, which were similar to the start of the season, but he never once, he doesn't back away from trying to win the footy again. So, like, that's where his leadership probably comes into it, you know. He'll accept he makes some errors, but he'll front up again.
Yeah.
23 disposals, 14 kicks, 9 handballs, 7 marks, 6 tackles. So yeah, for any shortcomings, he certainly certainly showed us that we needed a player like Dyson Heppel on the day, because where we'd be without a player like that would put us in a lot of trouble, I think.
Yeah, certainly, mate. I think he stood up defensively, albeit making a few clangers by foot. But yeah, I think he played a really solid game for us. Did try to hold that defensive group together in what was pretty testing times. Parts of the game, ended up with 5 score involvements as well as 4 intercept possessions. So giving us chances at both ends of the ground. So yeah, I thought he played quite a solid game.
Yeah, Sam Durham got a bit of the footy. 22 disposals, pretty high for Sam. 9 kicks, 13 handballs, 5 marks, 2 tackles, and a goal. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good game from Sam Durham.
Certainly was, mate. And starting off that game, he was looking unbelievable. He was attacking the footy well. He was clean with his hands. Using the ball well. I was thinking, oh, geez, he's on tonight. Actually went at 81% disposal efficiency for the game. Ran that wing well. Had 4 intercept possessions and 4 score involvements. So I quite liked his game. Look, he didn't have as huge impact as the game wore on, but that first quarter shows you the kind of player Sam Durham can be. So liking the young bloke's development.
Yeah, Nick Bryan had a quieter game this week. Had the 8 disposals, 3 kicks, 5 handballs, 2 marks, 2 tackles, but 19 hit-outs. So he took one really nice contested mark, I remember, where we really needed him to take the mark, and he did. With Nick, it's not like we expect him to be a dominant ruckman in his development, but, it's another game under his belt without being a star.
Yeah, no, I thought he played quite well. With the minutes he had, Jane, because again, noting he only played 52% of game time, which you sort of think, oh, geez, why so low? Because I thought he was playing quite well. We did have a bit of dominance in that ruck battle, which is quite good. So it's good to get that experience for him. Did take a couple of nice marks, which is good. As you say, Joe, like, good for his experience and development. He actually went at 87.5% disposal efficiency, and 7 of his disposals were contested possessions, James. So he worked hard to get it, used it well. He's showing a bit, the young bloke. So let's hope we sign him up very quickly. So I thought a solid game for Nick Bryan.
Mason Redmond, I thought he played quite a good game. He wasn't, in like his previous All-Australian kind of form early in the year, but he still took some really important marks. Kicked a lovely goal, as we talked about. 17 kicks, 5 handballs, 6 marks and 3 tackles and a goal. So a pretty good game from Mason Redmond, I thought.
Certainly was, Jane. Wasn't as dominant as we've seen previously as you raised, but still played quite a good game. Gave us a lot of running carry off that back line, so 535 metres gain there, which is really good. Laid a few tackles, which is nice. Saved a certain goal in that, I think it was the fourth quarter there, as I discussed earlier. 7 intercept possessions, which shows you he's doing well defensively. Went at 86% by foot. So yeah, using it really well. So yeah, as much as he wasn't outstanding, kicked a huge goal and yeah, played a really solid game. So well done, Mason Redmond.
Jake Kelly, bit perplexed, mate, on his selection. I think the side really can only maintain either Heppel or Kelly. Yeah, I don't think they should both play in the same side.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both agree he's not a wingman. We shouldn't be trying to turn him into one. And like what he can do is, yeah, he can provide a really good, strong defensive presence on particular players. And but yeah, like he slows us down a lot. And same with Heppel, like they're quite considered with their usage of the footy. So yeah, I'm a bit worried with our selection if we continue to name both of those guys. And you know, just the 14 disposals, 6 kicks, 8 handballs, 1 mark, and 2 tackles. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty average game from Jake.
Yeah, and I think it's more positional than anything else, Jane. I just don't think he's suited to that role. So yeah, for mine, didn't have much of an impact outside of that really nice pass. Yeah, at the start of the game. Yeah, I'd have to say, yeah, average to solid game from Jake Kelly on the night.
Yeah, Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, I thought he was really important. Played a key defensive role, obviously, and 17 disposals, 12 kicks, 5 handballs, 7 marks, and 2 tackles. And, yeah, we saw that last quarter mark that was so important as the Eagles were surging forward. And even though it wasn't as contested as it first looked, it was still a very important mark that he had to take, and you know, because Oscar Allen wasn't far behind him.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Yeah, no, he stood up again, Zerk-Thatcher. Yeah, I thought he played quite a decent game. Yeah, as you say, taking a number of marks down back, including that big one at the end. Actually had 10 intercept possessions, which shows he's absolutely doing his job as a fullback there. Used the ball fairly well, 82%. Had 7 contested possessions, so had to work hard for it. So yeah, no, I thought he played quite a good game, Zerk-Thatcher, and stood up when we needed him.
Yeah, Alwyn Davey was the sub. He's had 1 disposal, mate. Did have a tackle, but yeah, 1 mark. We saw he took an important mark and gave off the handball to Zach Merritt, who was surging forward. But as you said, he looked a bit cooked as he received the handball. So I don't know if Zach was on board with that handball, even though he ran past him. I think he just saw the way that Davey was motioning that he knew he had to get on the bike and just couldn't kick the goal. But yeah, I think, again, our sub really needs to be looked at. You know, we need players that can come on and make an impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alwyn's developing. You know, we don't expect the world from him. But yeah, I don't know, you know, if he was the right selection on the day. But that's another game to his belt, at least.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Not much can be said, but yeah, hopefully better for the run.
Yeah. Andrew Phillips was our, you know, main ruckman again, and you know, had the 7 disposals, 4 kicks, 3 handballs, 4 marks, 4 tackles, which is quite high for a ruckman, and 33 hitouts, with 1 behind, which we talked about earlier, mate. He really should have done better with that, especially, you know, when we had a premium on goals, mate. We needed a goal, and he let us down there. But yeah, he had another, yeah, important game for him because we needed a ruck presence, and he certainly provided that. But yeah, I think he had better opportunity to have a bigger impact on the game.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Look, as you say, did well on the ruck, provided a marking target. Yeah, every now and then through the ground, which is good. But outside of that, had pretty limited impact on the game. It was, yeah, good to have that big physical presence, because certainly we didn't allow West Coast to get easy ball from the stoppages. I'd have to say an average game overall for Andrew Phillips.
Yeah. A player who looks out of form at the moment, mate, Matt Gualvie. just the 7 disposals for the game, 3 kicks, 4 handballs, no marks, 2 tackles, and 1 behind. And again, that goal should have been kicked by him. So he looks out of confidence too, mate, which is a bit surprising because he's usually a confident player. But I don't know whether he's got a niggling injury or what, but he just doesn't seem to have the same burst in him that he usually does. So again, really poor game, I thought, from Matt Guelfi.
Yeah, in terms of impact, very limited from Matt Guelfi. And look, we know it's not a lack of effort or anything like that, but certainly, as much as he had quite a good season last year as a small forward and did perform quite well, I don't think he's a natural small forward. And, when we use the ball as poorly as we did going inside 50, it's a bit hard to get on the end of it if you don't have that natural ability to shark a goal here or there. So, look, I'd have to say, quite an average performance from Matt Guelfi, but, we know he'll lift in games to come.
Another player that seems to be dropping off as the season's gone on, mate. He's had a great year, but don't get me wrong, but Nick Martin found it hard again today, on Saturday, sorry. Just the 6 kicks, which is really important for him. Like, he's usually one of our better users of footy. The fact that he could only get 6 kicks, 10 handballs, 3 marks and 2 tackles. He did hit up a number of good forward entries, which gave players looks at kicks a goal. I just feel like he might be having season fatigue, mate. He looks like he doesn't have the same bounce as he had earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, Jane, because certainly there was still some quite nice bits of play, like that run up the wing and the kick to Kyle Langford in the pocket there. I mean, like, it didn't end up in a goal, but it was just a beautiful bit of play with nice kicking. And obviously has kicked it inside 50 quite nicely throughout the season. And hopefully he can train the rest of the Essendon players into how you manage that, because certainly it's a skill that I wish more players had in the side. He does look a bit tired, a bit worn down from the season. I still think there were some quite good moments from him. But overall, had the 5 score involvements, went at 80% disposal efficiency, but we'd like to see a lot more kicking in his game. So I think overall, you'd have to say average, even though it might sound a bit harsh.
And Jai Menzies, obviously we saw a very important crumb where Darling failed. McGovern failed to take the marks in that last minute and a half, and he ran onto the footy and, mate, don't underestimate that handball to Kyle Langford, because he had 2 West Coast players like bearing down on him as soon as he took possession. That could have easily been intercepted, that handball, but he had the presence of mind to get a good looping handball that made it easy for Kyle Langford. And I thought he was pretty quiet throughout the whole game, Jai Menzies, but that just showed his presence of mind was really important, and that could have easily been intercepted, or if he hadn't made the decision quick enough, could have been tackled with the footy. So I thought that was a really important play from him. Overall, pretty quiet going game for Jai.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jane. He was quiet. But stood up when we needed him. I still think he's our best sort of natural small forward in the side at the moment. I would love for a McDonald Tip and Woody, a Wanganeen to come into the side. But currently he's kind of the only one specialised in that position. And while I don't think it was his best game on the night, he's definitely worth persisting with, because he shows a bit of smarts around the goals. And made life pretty easy for Kyle Langford down there at the end, giving the old Joe the Goose. But not his best game, but certainly I reckon he's better for the run.
Yeah, well, that's it, mate. We got through all the players. So that leads us to our voting for the Donscast Medal votes. And as always, it's your turn to go first.
Beauty, mate. Well, I went the one for Zerk Thatcher. Thought he was pretty solid in defence. Two to Darcy Parrish. Gave up some opportunities, but worked bloody hard to get the ball and win it for us. So I thought he played quite well. I went three to Zach Merritt. I thought, his tackling in particular was just outstanding. His ball use, the way he gets around the ground, just a real great example as a leader. Four I gave to Nick Hyde, giving us that run and carry from back and some real good ball use inside 50, which is good. But the five votes, James, had to go for the bloke who kicked five goals. Kyle Langford was my best on. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Yeah, I did the same, mate. I went five for Kyle Langford. I know he kicked four goals in a quarter and then, the last goal. So maybe over the four quarters, he wasn't, involved in every quarter. But, I mean, I still think he's the most important player in the match. And, to kick the five goals, I couldn't go past him. I gave four to Nick Hind as well. I thought his run and carry was just so important. And, it was a big reason why we won the game. I gave three to Darcy Parrish. I thought that was a good return to form for him, even though he's still got his, some of his poor kicking was on display, but contestedly, he was really strong over the footy. I gave two to Zerk. I wanted to reward him for his the way that he played. I thought, the absence of Ridley, he needed to step up, and he did that. And I have given one vote to Mason Redmond, who had a really good game. I thought for him and was really important down back. Big apologies to Zach Merritt. Like, obviously, he probably should be in my votes, to be honest. But, they're the players that I went to. So apologies, Zach. If you ever listen to this, mate, it's not that I didn't rate your game. I thought you were brilliant. But, I think... your standard is just so good that some players got selected above you, in my opinion. But another good game from Zach anyway. But where does that leave us with the Dons Cast medal votes, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tally it up from the bottom as always. So we've got five votes apiece to Durham, Wright and Perkins. We've got six votes each to Bryan and Draper. Seven to Setterfield, eight to Wiedemann, 10 to Laverty, 11 to Phillips, 12 each to Hind and Kelly. 14 to Corbell, Zerk Thatcher is on 16, Scheel on 18, Stringer on 21, Heppel on 29, McGrath on 34, Hobbs on 37, Parrish on 44, and our top five, James, we got Redmond and Martin both on 49, Langford on 52, Ridley on 66, and still out in front is our captain Zach Merritt on 84 Donscast medal votes.
Yeah, well, I think with three games to go, it's pretty safe to say Zach's got the Don's Cast medal vote. Cast medal this year. And probably, as I said, he probably deserved a few more votes. I probably should have given him some votes this week, but he's been brilliant this year in his first year as captain. And we'll see how it goes with the final three rounds to come. But, mate, we play North this week. What's your ceiling? Like, what do you think? What does Essendon need to do this week? Despite just winning the game, like, do you think we need to change in selection or change in game style? What do you think?
Yeah, I think honestly, for mine, it starts at selection. Where we just need to be smarter around the blokes we play on. And I know, we do call for it's a development year, play the kids. But it has to be the right picks for mine. Personally, you got Wanganeen kicking four. He hasn't had much opportunity this year. So now that he's on, give him a run. Potentially there's an opportunity for Voss or even a Kane Baldwin. Now, I know you're not going to make wholesale changes, so all those changes aren't likely to happen. But we at least need to address how we're playing in terms of, taking the game on rather than, being very reactive. I'd love to see a bit more dare, both with selection and with ball in hand. That's what I'd love to see, Jane. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think that we just need to play, you know, we need to limit our turnovers, that's for sure, because that's been the thing. And we need to make the most of our opportunities kicking for goal. So I really hope goal kicking's on the work this week, you know, because you know, number of goals missed. And I really want them to be brave with selection. You know, there's some players that, you know, we're just constantly gone with. And, you know, been a bit of a theme. You know, we just haven't rewarded players that are playing well in the VFL. So, yeah, I'd like to see players like Wanganeen, Baldwin, and even Avos looked at. Because, as I said, you know, I think we all kind of conceded we probably won't make the finals this year. But, yeah, I want to see what the future looks like and maybe name some younger players that haven't had as much of an opportunity as they have, you know, maybe deserved. We'll wait and see on that and see if that comes to fruition. But, yeah, let's hope the Bombers can get their 11th victory coming up against North. And till next week, go Bombers.
Go Dons.